into your head.
Now, this is a pre-ramble to Into Your Head number 86, which is, incidentally, one of the worst shows ever. It's one of the most unentertaining, unstimulating episodes of Into Your Head ever made, and you're about to listen to it. So this is an introduction of sorts. It's basically me coming on and saying, it's me saying, so there you go. That's just to explain what's going on here. I'll probably put all that in the MP3 description as well. I'll say tonight's topics include me saying belch something, because I said belch there because I can't reproduce that belch at the moment. It was a spontaneous belch. It was unplanned. I didn't do it intentionally. It just came, and I can't reproduce it. No more than I could reproduce a fart. Because if you try to reproduce a fart, you're in danger of causing a mess, and I don't want that to happen. Anyway, suffice to say, this is the worst episode of Into Your Head so far ever made. And if you're new to the show, for God's sake, go back and listen to number 85. Don't start with this one. Do not listen to Into Your Head number 86, especially if you've seen IntoYourHead.com on my CV. If you're here because you're seeing IntoYourHead.com in the hobby section of my CV, then please go away right now. Press stop. And don't listen to this. Go back and listen to the previous one, because this is appalling drivel. There you go. That's me. And by the way, I don't go around saying in real life or talking like this. I'm a normal, reliable person in real life. This is a caricature. This isn't really me. This is the caricature of me who presents Into Your Head. It's a comedy program of sorts. I don't know. I try to avoid saying comedy because comedy implies being funny and entertaining, and that's too much pressure on me. I don't want to put pressure on myself to be entertaining. No more than you, the listener, would like to label yourself an intelligent listener, because that puts similar pressure on you. It puts pressure on you to be intellectual and to leave comments in the guestbook at intoyourhead.com/stalk or in the online voicemail system at intoyourhead.com/stalk or in our email inbox by sending to studio@intoyourhead.com. But you don't want pressure upon yourself to make intelligent or useful or entertainment comments. It's no more than I do, so we don't put labels on ourselves like that. We don't label you, the listener, intelligent, and we don't label this a comedy podcast, because neither are the case. So there you go. If either do happen to be the case, then it's purely by accident, and it's purely a bonus. There's no pressure on any of us. And I think that's all I needed to say. This is just an introduction. It's basically to pat things out, make it a bit longer, and to excuse myself being, the past me, who's in the future segment, who's going to be less than entertaining and less than intellectually stimulating. And he's going to get away with it by putting in a preamble saying, warning, basically, that this is not a normal type of show of Into Your Head. In fact, I think I'll call it the non-show number 2, because I did a non-show a couple of weeks ago, and it was basically me sitting here pontificating and basically doing this stuff like this. Well, not exactly the same thing. I think I can't remember what I did. Me. Now on that note, I think I'm going to press stop, because I seem to have run this segment into the ground, and now it's time to listen to the earlier me running a previous segment into the ground. Now, join me as a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 86. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he says that at the beginning of every show. Well, I don't. I don't, actually. I didn't. At the previous show, I said, you joined me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 85. This time I said it was 86. So I don't say that at the beginning of every show. You're wrong. That's why I've got a podcast and you haven't. Well, unless you're one of the many listeners to Into Your Head who does have a podcast, such as, for example, Dadaist from Dadaist Cabaret, and Ruben from the Ruber Nerd Show, and that other guy from, that Irish guy, what's his name? He's got two podcasts, Conspiracast and the other one. But unless you're one of them, you don't have a podcast, and I do. So I'm in a superior position to you. I'm part of the media. I have the power to, I can probably attend one of those secret meetings that half of the world's leaders attend that they run every year. What's that called? I don't know. The one that everyone's paranoid about. Apparently there's a meeting in some secret location and all of the world leaders go to it and people from the media. And they all plan how they're going to run the world. What's it called again? I don't know. It doesn't really matter, does it? It's not like I'm going to have the reason to write to them or refer to them any more times than maybe the once or twice that I refer to them in this segment. It's not like I'm going to be talking about them all the time unless I can think of enough interesting things to say about them. But that's unlikely. That very few things are interesting enough to be for me to come back to them segment after segment and show after show. Cats are an exception, and so is Professor Stephen Hawking. I've referred to him several times during this series. I believe I named at least one episode after him. It was called Professor Stephen Hawking's something. I can't remember what exactly the something was, so I inserted the word something as a temporary marker. Well, a permanent marker. It's not like I'm going to come back and re-edit this and replace the word something with wherever the appropriate word was during the editing process. But if you want to do that yourself, feel free and make your own copy of Into Your Head number 86 where you replace the word something with whatever it's supposed to be. But that seems a bit overkill. When you get a television show, watch it. You don't go start editing it to suit your needs. That'd be ridiculous. And that's what people want nowadays, apparently. They want older. They want to be able to change bits of media after they've arrived at them. They want to get the newspaper and start cutting bits out of it, and they get glue and they start rearranging it. If they don't like where the main headline is, they cut it out and they paste it onto page 3, and then they move the photos around. Such is my understanding, anyway. I'm a bit out of touch with the newspaper reading industry at the moment. Well, it's not an industry. The newspaper production industry is an industry, as the name implies. It's called the newspaper production industry because it is an industry. But the newspaper reading industry is not called the newspaper reading industry because it's not an industry. I misspoke and mistakenly called it the newspaper reading industry, but it's not. It's not an industry at all. Maybe someday someone will make an industry out of it. In fact, there are people who have organisations where they read bits of newspapers into a cassette recorder, and they issue audio versions of the newspaper. But they're usually charities. They're not in it for profit, so I don't think you could refer to those as industries. That's not to say that you can't be an industry if you're not in profit yet. You could be on your way to making a profit. Or you could be hoping for the best and thinking, I'll do this for non-profit for now, but I hope someday to make a profit out of it. When this industry picks up, whatever industry you're in, I don't know. So there you go. That's basically how that works, whatever I was talking about. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, what's that noise going on in the background? That sounds like he's being unprofessional. He's got noise and interference going on in the background. Well, I'm not. I'm not being unprofessional at all. I've got the dishwasher switched on, and it's washing dishes as we speak, and you're hearing the noise of the water churning around, washing the dishes. Ah, because I'm a multitasker. I wash dishes and speak to you at the same time. You hardly expect me to leave my dishes until I'm finished talking to you. That would be just too late. I want to have dishes available to me within the next 2 hours for reuse, because I recycle all of the Delf and mugs and cutlery that we have. I don't just throw them out like you do in the likes of McDonald's and Burger King. They give you all this cutlery, just paper bags and plastic spoons and all sorts of things, and you give them back when you're leaving the store, and if you look around on your way out the door, you'll see them just throwing them in a bin. They don't go and recycle them at all. They don't say, oh, this could be washed and reused. No, they don't. They just dispose of them. It's the disposable culture of today's world. No one wants to reuse anything at all. They come along and they'll say, oh, here's a bottle of water, I'm going to drink it. And 2 hours later, they'll urinate it out, but then they'll just flush it down the toilet. They won't use it for anything else. That water could be used to water the plants in your back garden. Because the water has to come from somewhere. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the water that goes into the toilet goes down into the sewers and then eventually goes into the sea and then it evaporates up into clouds and then it rains over your garden. So it's going to get recycled as rainwater anyway, and it's going to end up in the exact same place. Well, that's not the point. You've missed the point completely. The point is over there at the fridge that I'm looking at right now, 45 degrees to my left and approximately 8 feet away, and you're over there at the dining room door there. The dining room door, that's where you are, which admittedly is quite closer to me, but it's nowhere near the fridge. It's way over the other side of the room. The point is over there and you're over there at the other end, so you've missed the point completely. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you haven't missed it. You're approaching it. You're going from the dining room to the fridge, so you're approaching the point. Well, you're not. I've decided. I'll tell you where you are in my kitchen. Not you. You don't know where you are in my kitchen. It's not like my kitchen is a virtual world and you can see on the screen and you've got your hands stuck into some sort of electronic gloves and it's like a virtual reality world and you can see into my kitchen, so you know exactly where you are in my kitchen. You don't. I'm the only one here who's in my kitchen and I can see where you are and I can see where the point is, because my point, I'll put wherever I want, and I'd already placed it at the fridge when you arrived at the dining room door, and you haven't even entered the kitchen yet. You're at the dining room door. You're still within the area of the door frame, so technically you're not in the kitchen at all. You're in the dining room, or you're in the space between the kitchen and the dining room. So don't give me that crap. Just stay quiet and let me have my own little world here where I know where everything is, because otherwise I'm just going to get confused and that'll be the end of everything.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan, and when I'm in Ireland, I listen to Into Your Head.
Now, this show isn't going very well. I don't like it. I dislike it immensely. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that's being rather judgmental. There's only been 8 minutes so far to judge of it. And you've already judged it. Yes, I have judged it. That's my job. I'm the editor of Into Your Head. I'm the production manager and the editor in chief and the assistant editor, so I have to make a decision on these things. So I've decided I don't like today's show. It's a load of crap. I don't like this segment very much at all, which doesn't bode well for the everything else. If I don't like this segment where I'm critiquing everything else, then it's obvious that I'm not going to. Well, actually, no, that doesn't make sense now that I think of it. If I dislike this segment, which consists of me saying that I dislike all the other segments, then that might be a double negative. It might mean that the reason that I don't like this segment is because I'm heard criticising the other segments, which in fact I like. So it may mean that I dislike this segment because, by definition, I dislike the other segments. So I hope you're following this. So I suppose, in a way, that means because I don't like this segment, I must, therefore, it follows, like all of the other segments in this show. So that's great. That means I actually do like this show, except for this segment. So I take it all back. I like today's show. Into Your Head number 86 is one of the finest episodes of Into Your Head ever made, except for this piece of it. And this piece, as far as I'm concerned, is a load of crap. It's basically me being negative and critiquing everything. I don't like negativity. I like positivity. I like being... I'm all for positivity. I'm in favour of positivity, and I'm against negativity. I'm negative towards negativity, which is a double negative, which means a positive. So I'm all for negativity, and that's the way it is. Well, at least I got it all out. I got it all out of my system. I emptied it out. My system is empty now. It's as if I've just had a good long urination session, except I haven't gotten rid of any liquid. Well, that's okay. I had a piss a while ago, and I'm okay for now. So everything's going to be absolutely fine. Don't worry about any. Yes, I do seem to have been cut off in mid-word again. You're probably wondering why. Well, I can't remember. I recorded that yesterday. I can't remember why I cut myself off in mid-word. I suspect it was by accident. I was trigger-happy, and I accidentally pulled the trigger. Well, it's a metaphorical trigger. My portable recording device that I'm using does not have a trigger of any kind. It has a button. And it has a switch. Oh, hold on, let me have a look. It has two switches and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 buttons. But two of those buttons are those type where if you press on one end, it goes backwards, and if you press on the other, it goes forwards. So I suppose you could count each of them as two buttons. And so that's 7 buttons, and I've just remembered there's 3 on the front as well. So that's 10 buttons and 2 switches. So that's an excellent number of buttons to have on any gadget. You can do virtually anything once you've got 10 buttons and 2 switches. Now, the switches, of course, are the most economically, environmentally friendly part of the design, because a button doesn't use any electric power or battery power when you press it. It's a switch, I mean. I'm not talking about a button, I'm talking about a switch. I got confused there. I'm not talking about the buttons, I'm talking about the switches. The switches are very environmentally friendly. Because they're not powered. When you press on a button, you're instantly using electricity to send a signal to a circuit board, such is my understanding. But when you flick a switch, you're using the power of your thumb to move some mechanical mechanism inside the gadget. So that's what I like to do. I try to avoid pressing the buttons wherever possible. I try to use the switches instead. So what now? That's actually brings me to a possible explanation for why I cut myself off in mid-word. Probably I had a gust of environmentally friendliness and decided I'm not going to press the stop button because that's a button. I'm going to press the power off switch instead with my thumb, and it'll be environmentally friendly and save electricity. And maybe that's what I did. It seems a likely explanation. Although it's not the explanation, because I think I'd have remembered it by now if that was the case. It would have triggered a memory in my memory bank, in my mind, and I would have remembered, oh yeah, I did that. But it hasn't triggered any such memory. Now, of course, the other possible explanation for that is that I'm suffering some sort of short-term memory loss, and there's something wrong with me, in which case I may be mentally ill. Well, that's certainly an unfortunate thing. I don't want to be mentally ill. I don't want to be ill in any way. I don't want to be physically ill or mentally ill or have a mental illness that causes me to think that I'm physically ill without knowing that I'm mentally ill, which is, you might as well, if that's the case, you might as well just be physically ill. If you're going to have a mental illness that causes you to think that your brain is fine but there's something wrong with your body, then you may well as well have something wrong with your body instead. It's the same thing. Probably the worry and stress of all that will cause to have a mental illness as well, though. So it's the worst of both worlds, as they say. when they're talking about worlds. People very rarely talk about worlds. They don't say, which world is the best of the lot? I think Pluto and Neptune are the worst. And if I had to pick between the best of both two worlds, I'd pick Mars and Earth. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, we don't know very much about Mars. Someone landed on it last week, and nothing much happened. They're still looking for water, because apparently the unmanned probe gets thirsty and goes around looking for water on Mars when it lands. That's the first thing every unmanned probe does, is go digging for water. Why they can't bring a bottle of water with them, I have no idea. We have offices all over the world getting deliveries of water every day in giant bottles, and being attached to a little cooler with a tap on it so that people can drink. But we send we can plant a man on the moon, but apparently we can't send water with him. He has to send a probe first to dig for the water so that he can find water to drink. I don't think that makes sense at all. Call me naive or stupid, or call me a fucking idiot, or call me mentally retarded, or call me a fucking boring psychopathic loser who's rather scary, or just call me Neil. I don't know, whatever you like. I'd rather you just call me by my name, Neil O'Carroll, if you don't mind. Because there you go. That's stuff. That's the end of that. I'm a little distracted because I'm perusing the internet. Now, another word for perusing, of course, would be looking at. And, well, that's two words, but even still, it's considered simpler, even though it's twice as many words. It's considered simpler to say looking at than perusing. People have no love of language nowadays. There's loads of lovely words that I could use every time I want to say that I'm looking at something on the internet, but I'm supposed to just use the same words all the time. I'm supposed to say I'm looking at the internet or I'm browsing it. Nothing else. I'm not allowed to say anything else. I'm going to go into an online thesaurus now and look at other ways to say that I'm on the internet. Hold on a minute. Online thesaurus. Thesaurus.com. A thesaurus is a thing that shows you other words for words that you're using. For those who don't know, another word for thesaurus would be a dictionary of synonyms and acronyms or something. But that's not, again, that's more than one word. Apparently you're not allowed to use more than one word. Now here we go, you want to find other words for browsing. Browsing. Search. This in itself is browsing. Oh, no results found for browsing. Did you mean brow space sing? No, I didn't mean brow space sing. And I didn't mean brow hyphen sing either. It's suggesting that as well. It's suggesting boring and bring and brown and brownie and brow. Oh, browse. That'll do. Browse. Let's see. Verb, to look through something, blah blah, that's the definition. What's that thing? Synonyms, brut, crop, feed, flip, forage, glance, graze, nibble, pasture, scan, shop, skim, thumb. See, there you go, I can use all them words. I can use a different one every time for the next 10 times that I say I'm looking at the internet. And then I can go back and start with the first one again, because by the time I've gone through all 10, you'll have forgotten the first one. Or else you'll have half forgotten it and thought, what was that lovely word he used the other day when he was saying that he was browsing the internet? I think he said he was foraging the internet, but I can't remember. Maybe he'll use it again when he runs out of words. Because I'd say he has no more than 10. He's not that great. He's going to have more than 10 words for browsing the internet. Unless he's checked an online thesaurus that's got 11 in it. Actually, how many is there here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And if you use browse as well, that's 14 different words for browsing the internet. That's absolutely fantastic. I'm going to spend the rest of the night now flipping and foraging and glancing and grazing and nibbling and pasturing the internet. If anyone has a problem with that, they can just go and they can go and take a forage for themselves. Because The internet is my thing. It's what I do. I do the internet every day. First thing I'll do tomorrow morning, even though I have to go off somewhere early tomorrow morning, the first thing I'll do is go on the internet at 5:30 in the morning, and I'll check Twitter, and I'll check my email in case anyone has emailed me since midnight, and I'll check, I'll probably check the news. I'll see if anything has happened. I'll see if there's a bus strike, because I'll be going for a bus in the morning. I have to go somewhere on a bus in the morning. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, where is he going on the bus in the morning? Well, that's a reasonable thing to wonder. You could just ask me. Go on, I'll leave a space here so you can ask me where I'm going on the bus in the morning. Now, I'm a little surprised that you didn't use that silence to ask me that question, and you just did something else instead. You just sat listening to me being silent, which is a bit of a wasted opportunity if you ask me. But I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm going to Dublin in the morning. I'm going to the capital of Ireland, the bustling city of Dublin, on the east coast of Ireland. It's one of the finest cities in the Western world. It's been compared to Dublin, Texas. Not least because it has the same name as Dublin, Texas. Actually, let's look up Dublin, Texas now and see what's... I've never looked into Dublin, Texas. I might as well broaden my horizons. Dublin, Texas. Dublin, Dopper. Oh, it's the home of Dr. Pepper, apparently. And it's got a public library on 206 West Something Street. I don't know what the something was because the page changed then. Because I'm perusing from page to page. I'm flipping and foraging around the internet. Let's see. Dublin is a city in Erath County, Texas, United States. The population in 2000 was 3,754. Now, that's not a city. You Americans think you've got a city if you've got two people living in it and there's a shop. A city. Dublin, Ireland has... Dublin, Ireland has a lot of people living in it. It's got like... I don't know, I think there's something like 1.3 million last I checked, which was a long time ago, and it's been rising since. So there's a hell of a lot more people in Dublin, Ireland than in Dublin, Texas. So as far as I'm concerned, Dublin, Texas isn't a city at all. A city doesn't have less than 4,000 people living in it. That's absolutely fucking ridiculous. You can go way out of that shite. Dublin was also the boyhood home of legendary golfer Ben Hogan, who I've never heard of, who was born on August 13, 1912, at the hospital in nearby Stephenville. Hogan lived in Dublin until 1921. Now, he only lived there until he was 9, this guy, and then he moved to Fort Worth, but they put this down in the Wikipedia entry for Dublin, as if it's a... it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous... I think Dublin's crap. Dublin, Texas. Dublin, Ireland is far better. I'm going to Dublin, Ireland tomorrow. I have an appointment there, and I'm going to get to my appointment, and I'm going to attend my appointment, and then I'm going to hang around for 8 hours waiting for the next bus home, and then I'm going to come home, and then it'll be the weekend, and it'll be absolutely fantastic. So I wonder if anyone in Dublin, Texas is doing anything as interesting or stimulating tomorrow. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking there's nothing particularly interesting or stimulating about going for an appointment and then coming home. Well, that depends on the appointment. I might have an appointment with a prostitute or something, or with a surgeon who's going to operate on my brain. I think that'd be quite an interesting thing to do. Now, admittedly, neither of those facts are the case. But for one thing, I'm a law-abiding citizen, and for another thing, as I established earlier, there's nothing wrong with my brain, and I'm glad of that. Although I do seem to be breaking out in spots, these last few days. I've got a lot of spots on my back, and I've got a sore spot on my chest. I don't know what that means. It probably means I've got measles again or something. I seem to be always getting measles. I had it when I was a child. I've never had chickenpox, not surprisingly, because I eat an awful lot of chicken. I had chicken for dinner today. I had... what did I have? I had kidney beans and some sort of tomato broccoli thing left over from yesterday, and some sort of chicken thing in a can with rice in it, chicken korma or something. I had a spoonful of that for flavour, and some lumps of chicken out of the can. and I had, I put some other crap in it, I don't know. It was absolutely fucking ridiculous, fucking delicious anyway. I don't know what you're thinking there. He almost said ridiculous instead of delicious. Because he's so cynical, he's the word ridiculous words, rolls off his tongue in response to everything. So he's just got the word ridiculous on the tip of his tongue. Because he's a cynic. He's a cynical... Well, that's very cynical of you to say that I'm a cynic. You don't know anything about me. In fact, I'm going to do a Google search now. I'm going to search for Neil O'Carroll cynic. Let's see if anything comes up. See, absolutely nothing. Something about a Tom O'Carroll and a Neil Gaiman spelt the wrong way, who's only come up because there's a Brendan O'Carroll on the same page. But there's no mention of me and the word cynic to be found in this search engine. Now let's do another search. We search for a Neil O'Carroll ridiculous. Now again, nothing. There's a guy called Neil O'Carroll who spelt it differently than me, and he's come up. Thou shalt not put musicians and recording artists on ridiculous pedestals, no matter how, something, something. And that's just a Bebo page. That's nothing to do with me. Now, I see the fourth result here is my website, intoyourhead.com. But there's no... it's only come up because Neil O'Carroll is on it. There's no mention of the word cynic or ridiculous at all. So that proves that I'm neither ridiculous nor cynical, according to the results of the world's favourite search engine. So that proves that the internet has proved something. Now, if you all excuse me, I'm going to go off and peruse again. So goodbye.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guest book
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.